Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. There is no rock like our God. None whatsoever. Well, we want to, as I mentioned, share a little bit about Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost, and what that means, and what happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2 really talks all about Pentecost. We want to share with you a few minutes about that. And we know that there was an awesome experience of God that came upon the church on the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit came that day upon the church, but there were some other things that happened as well. And let's go back just a little bit and read Acts chapter 1, because the day of Pentecost took place 50 days after the Lord was crucified, or the resurrection. And the Bible says that he showed himself after he raised from the dead 40 days to the disciples, and then they went and they waited for 10 days until the day of Pentecost finally came. And Jesus said to us in Acts chapter 1, when they were all assembled together in verse 4, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? What were they interested in at that particular time? What were the disciples interested in at that particular time when they asked that question? They wanted Jesus to be king, yeah? He already was king, though. They knew that. What were they really looking for? They wanted Israel restored. They wanted the kingdom restored. They wanted to see the physical manifestation of the kingdom, Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in the nation of Israel. And notice, it's kind of an interesting answer that Jesus gave them. He didn't even seem like he even bothered with their question. He said, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but, he said, never mind about that basically right now. When the kingdom is going to be totally restored in full manifestation, never mind about that. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So this is one of the very last things that Jesus said to his disciples before he left the earth. Now, I would think that, you know, Jesus is going to heaven now, and he's got a last opportunity to talk to his disciples, so he's going to say something very significant, isn't he? He's going to say something that was on his heart that he wanted to share. And there's a number of things that Jesus shared over the 40 days that after he was raised from the dead and fellowshiped amongst the disciples and so forth. Obviously, he talked about the kingdom because the scripture talks about. I'd love to know in detail everything he said. Wouldn't you? I would just love to know in detail everything that Jesus said after he was raised from the dead and shared with his disciples. But he gives this is written down to us, something that is extremely important. He said, never mind about the time that the kingdom of Israel will be fully restored, but this is more important. You're about to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and the power is to do something. The power is to be a witness to me or my witnesses. In other words, there's going to be a power that's going to come upon you that's going to enable you to be a witness. Witness to the things about Jesus, about things that he said, and a witness about the kingdom of God. There's going to be a power and anointing come upon the church that's going to be able to declare with power that Jesus Christ is Lord and that the whole world needs to be saved. That power is going to come upon the church in an awesome fashion. Now, they didn't have a clue what that meant, really, because Jesus didn't really explain what that was all about. But he did say, now go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. So they went to wait. Actually, they said, wait for the power. Wait for the power that was about to come upon you, because the Holy Spirit was already in the world. I mean, the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of things that the Holy Spirit did throughout history before this ever happened. But the Holy Spirit was going to come in a new way. The Holy Spirit was going to come in a new fashion. The Holy Spirit was going to come in a new experience. And he said, when you leave here, wait in Jerusalem until you receive that experience. And so they went there, they gathered together and as the disciples, and they waited for somebody to come, some experience to come. Now, before we go any further, just let's share a little bit about the Holy Spirit, because he is so crucial to our life in Jesus. He's so crucial to our life in Christ. Who is he? What was he? What was he like? Well, he is not a force. We know that. I mean, the Holy Spirit, some people think it that he's some kind of a force, that he's not really a character, or he's not really a person. They think he's some kind of a force like that you'd get out of an electric light socket or something like that. But he is more than that. He brings power, but he's also an individual. He's God. He's our creator. He's the Holy Spirit. And we are to revere him. This is important. We are to revere him as God. It's important that we recognize that the Holy Spirit is God. And if we will honor him, we will see a great more activity in our lives. He is our regenerator. He's the one that comes into our lives. When I asked Jesus to save me, he's the one that came in and brought me to new life. He's the one that caused me to be born again. He's the one that came in and took this dead life and brought it to life. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, saved me from the dead, raised me from the dead, and raised every born-again believer from the dead. So he came and demonstrated his power in that way. He's the same one that gives us a witness that we are saved. You know, you couldn't know that you're saved. You couldn't sense that you're saved. You couldn't believe that you're saved if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit within us. Because he gives us a witness that we are saved. And we take the word of God. He gives us the ability to be able to believe the word of God. He gives us that ability to be able to believe that we have been born again. So without him, we'd be lost. We couldn't be born again without the Holy Spirit. He's the one who empowers us. We talked about that a little bit. Jesus said that you would be clothed with power from on high. And he is the Spirit of truth. He is the one that leads us all into all truth. Without the Holy Spirit, we can be led astray. We can be led into different kind of doctrines of error and so forth. But the Holy Spirit can witness when we hear something. He witnesses within our own spirits that this is the truth. Have you ever heard something? You've been in the service and you heard something and you never heard it before in your life. You never even thought about it. But when you heard it, you had a witness that it was true. Sure you did. That's the Holy Spirit within you, giving you direction and guidance, leading you into all truth. And maybe sometimes there's been a situation that you were in and you heard something and you thought, that doesn't sit right. That doesn't sit just right. I don't believe that. There's something telling me that this is not true. Well, again, that's the Holy Spirit. He's the one who leads us into all truth. He brings us truth. He is our counselor. The word Holy Spirit, or the comforter or counselor that's talked about by Jesus in the Gospel of John, it refers also to an advocate, a counselor, a helper, a comforter. It is one called alongside to help. So no matter what we're involved in, no matter what kind of difficulties we're having in life, the Holy Spirit is called alongside of us to help us, to give us some direction, some guidance, some truth, some power, some ability to be able to accomplish that which God calls us to accomplish. He is there. He is always there for us. He's also our intercessor. And I think we need to turn to Romans chapter 8 just for a moment to look at this. He's our intercessor. The Holy Spirit helps us in interceding. He helps us to be able to pray about things that we don't know what to pray about. Listen to Romans chapter 8 verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. So he helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You ever get into a situation where you didn't know how to pray or what to pray about? Do you ever get in a situation where you know it was a difficult situation and you didn't know how to pray about that particular situation? I get in those situations many, many times. We've just been in one when we were in China and praying there and listening to these people and seeing some people talk in another language that I didn't know about. This particular time, the place where we met was the Asian World Expo Center. And we were in a meeting one night, and some other people called me aside and said, we need to pray for this man because it seems like there's an attack on him. And he was the CEO of the World Asia Center. And he was an Asian man, but I never seen such a tall Asian man. He must have been 6'6". He was really tall for an Asian. That's tall. And we were sharing with him, and he was telling me, he said, I don't know what's happening. He said, I'm getting sores all over my body. It just seems like there's pain and sores that seem to be manifesting in my body. I don't know what's going on. So how do you pray in a situation like that? I just can't help but think that there's ways to pray that we don't know about in the natural. So I just yield it to the Holy Spirit. The Lord, well, how do you want me to pray about that? And I begin to pray out of my spirit those things that I believe God was initiating at that particular time, praying for that man. We'll get in situations where we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit is there to help us. Now, if we've never ever given way to the Holy Spirit in our lives, there's not much likely he's going to show up when you're in dire straits. Do you know that? You know the Holy Spirit doesn't respond to need? Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit doesn't respond to need. The Holy Spirit responds to faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If the Holy Spirit responded to need, he would be responding to every need around the world today. But we see lots of needs not being met. He responds to faith. He responds to believing faith. He responds to you and I believing that he will come in and help us in a particular situation. And so if we have taken time to talk to the Holy Spirit, to allow him into our lives and so forth, then he will come when we need him. How would you get into a place where, you know, you could take time or do some things that would give a demonstration of how you feel about the Holy Spirit in your life? Well, it may be when we're doing things or not doing things that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us about. For instance, if we're caught into something that we shouldn't be doing, and the Holy Spirit begins to nudge us and speak to us and kind of make us feel uncomfortable because of what we're doing and so forth, if we respond to that, we'll get used to hearing here and sensing his direction. If we don't, and we just kind of bowl over that inner voice on the inside telling us to do something different, then he will not be able to speak to us in times of trouble, because we'll have gained practice in putting him down, in not being able to hear him. How many of you, and you don't have to put your hands up, I'm putting mine up because I'm guilty, but throughout life, how many of you ever got to doing something? It might have been watching something. It might have been doing something. It might have been going ahead and doing something that you really didn't feel right about. You really had a sense you shouldn't do it, but you kind of got yourself so busy or so wild because you didn't want the Holy Spirit to tell you to do something different. Yeah, sometimes we do that. We get ourselves busy to the point where we can't hear the Holy Spirit because we don't want to hear the Holy Spirit because we want to do what we shouldn't do. Well, that's called rejecting the leading of the Holy Spirit, rejecting the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And if we get used to doing that, we're going to miss it. When we really desperately need the Holy Spirit, we're not going to be able to hear him. We won't be able to hear what he says because we'll have gained a habit of rejecting, of not listening to the Holy Spirit. No, we need to get into the habit of hearing the Holy Spirit. That we, you know, I believe that if we were to be fully conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm believing God for that. If we were to walk fully in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would be able to sense the very whisper of the Holy Spirit. Whenever he speaks to us, whenever he leans, speaks to us in just the slightest fashion, we would be able to yield to him. We'd quickly yield to what he wants to do. Now, the Holy Spirit came to the church in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, and something very significant took place. Now, let me say again, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said that power would come upon us to be witnesses, to talk about Jesus, to be able to share about Jesus, to share about the kingdom, to go and tell the world that they can be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ, to go and tell the world that there is a way out of the circumstance that they're in. I didn't even know I was in a circumstance on my way to hell before I heard that Jesus Christ had made a way for me to stay out of a place I didn't even know I was headed to. Now, folks, that's where most of the world is. How are they going to know unless there's somebody sent to them? How are they going to know unless we tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ? How are we going to know unless we find some place to demonstrate the power that Jesus gave us to be witnesses to him? How are they going to know? Now, folks, we have to get really serious about this, particularly in our schools and our workplaces. We have to be serious about witnesses, about being witnesses for Jesus. We really do. We have to be serious about inviting people to come out to church, inviting people to come and hear the word of the Lord, inviting people to turn to Jesus. We're all going to have to give an answer for this someday. Or maybe we don't want the power. Maybe we don't want the power. Robert, do you want the power? Power of the Holy Spirit? Well, do you suppose the Lord would give us the power if we weren't going to use it for what it was meant to be used for? Then if we want the power of God in our lives, we must be witnesses. Witnesses of Jesus, of the King and the kingdom. Unless we don't want the power. Well, I just want the power to heal me. How about that? But that's not what Jesus said the power is for. Well, I just want the power so that I can change my relationship that I have with my family or my kids or my spouse or whatever. I want the power for that. But that's not what Jesus said the power is for. The power, he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you shall be witnesses. You'll be somebody who proclaims witnesses of me, witnesses of the King and the kingdom. Puts a little bit different light on it, doesn't it? I want the power to have a good time. I want to feel good. But that's not what the power is for. The power is to be witnesses to a lost and dying world, to be witnesses of the kingdom and the King that belongs to the kingdom. Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this was the day of Pentecost. Think about this for a minute. In the day of Pentecost, they originally, when the Pentecost really began, they took this bread, and they had yeast in the bread because that's how you make bread. And the yeast represents, quite often in the Bible, represents sin. And what stops yeast from working? Pardon? No, it still works when it's cold. I see Debbie, the only time when she puts bread in the oven is the only way to get that yeast to stop working. If it's too hot, turn the fire up. That's what I'm saying. It stops yeast from working, doesn't it? Well, they took these loaves of bread and waved them before God. Here we see fire coming on the day of Pentecost. The fire comes to burn up the yeast. The fire comes to stop the yeast from working. The fire comes on the disciples in the day of Pentecost to stop the yeast of sin working amongst them. The fire heated things up so the yeast wouldn't work anymore. Do you want the fire in your life?
Yes.
Do we want the fire of God in such a way so that we will not be prone to sin? Do we want the fire of God in our lives in such a way that we will become refined and purified? That's what the fire is for. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. In verse 3 it says, there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat on each one of them. Now notice they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit was that they began to speak with other tongues. Now, this was a phenomenon that came upon the church. We don't read about it in the Old Testament. There's a reference to it in Isaiah, but we don't see people experience speaking in other tongues other than in the New Testament. It seems something that was dedicated to the New Testament. The Holy Spirit brought it, but the Holy Spirit is not tongues. Don't get that mixed up. The Holy Spirit is not tongues any more than, a cow is milk. The Holy Spirit is not tongues. You have the one who brought the tongues, who is the Holy Spirit, but he's not tongues. And tongues was a gift that came to the church on the day of Pentecost, brought by the Holy Spirit. And he brought that for a particular reason. He brought the gift of tongues into the church in order to bring some life to the church that they never had before. The one who was to bring power, isn't this interesting now when you stop and think about it? Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will receive power from on high when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And we see the Holy Spirit coming, then we see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit coming upon the disciples, and we see the result of him coming, which was each one of them spoke in other tongues. To me, that's very interesting. Now, let's look at the gift of tongues just for a moment, and let's talk about that. Because I believe, in our society today, in most of the churches, that we get away so far from the meaning and purpose of the Holy Spirit and the purpose of the gifts that he brought to us, that we have cut ourselves off from having the power work mightily in our lives. And we're just struggling along, trying to get through this life so someday we'll make it to heaven. Well, I believe God wants us to live in a greater dimension than that. I believe he wants us to live in the power of the Holy Spirit, to have his gifts activated in our lives down here, not in the sweet by and by, but down here, so that we can accomplish the things, that we can be the witnesses that he wants us to be. So let's look at this gift just for a moment. We need to recognize that the gift of tongues has come, and we see that, well, let's go over to, because it gives such specific direction about tongues in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. There's some other things that I'd love to share with you, but I can see I'm just not going to have time. But let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 just for a moment and read a few things there concerning the gift of tongues. Now, I'm going to just make a few statements here. And again, I can't go through all the scriptures because it's going to take too much time. Speaking in other tongues opens the door for other gifts of the Spirit. Acts chapter 19, verse 2 and 6 talks about tongues and prophesying. But this is something that seems to be very evident, that the gift of speaking in tongues opens the door to other manifestations of the Spirit or gifts of the Spirit to function and operate in our lives. And so it is something that will release power in our lives. Now let's read chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. Pursue love. Everybody say pursue love. Pursue. Now this is something. Faith works by love, the scripture says. Right? So if you don't have love, you're not going to function in faith. So everything has to be operated in faith and love. Or a faith that works by love. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, especially that you might prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue, speaks in these kind of tongues that the Holy Spirit brought, speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. In the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. So that's an interesting concept when you think of mysteries. Obviously, we don't speak mysteries to God. Things are not mysterious to God. It's not a mystery to God, but it's a mystery to you and I when we speak in other tongues. We share things that are intimate with God. Let me read from just a few different translations concerning this verse. It says that if you praise him, this is from the Message Bible, if you praise him in the private language of tongues, God understands you, but no one else does. For you are sharing intimacies just between you and him. Isn't that interesting? When you pray in other tongues, you share intimacies just between you and him. Another translation, the Amplified Bible, says this: for one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but to God. For no one understands him or catches his meaning. Because in the Holy Spirit, he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. Not obvious to the understanding. So when we pray in other tongues, we're talking secret truths that are not obvious to the understanding. The English Standard Version puts it this way: for no one speaks in a tongue, pardon me, for who speaks in a tongue speaks not unto men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. He utters mysteries in the Spirit. So when we pray in other tongues, we are praying secret mysteries out. Divine secrets. I often pray sometimes when I begin to pray and spend time in my time alone devotion praying, I say, Lord, I thank you that for the ability to be able to pray out the divine secret and the divine mystery about this particular issue that I'm bringing before you now. I know there's a secret and a mystery that needs to be prayed out, and I'm going to yield now to the Holy Spirit and thank you for the answer to the secret and mystery that's about to be prayed out, and I begin to pray in other tongues and pray for a considerable time until I feel that I have dealt with that properly. But divine secrets and mysteries, see, everything that takes place, even when it comes to your freedom and you're walking in freedom, there's a secret and a mystery. There, if it wasn't a secret, if it wasn't a mystery, if something wasn't hid from you, if there was something that we could see clearly, we wouldn't be in a jam. So there has to be a secret and a mystery around it. Because if we knew how to get out of it, we would do it. So we pray this out with other tongues. We yield to the Holy Spirit and pray in other tongues concerning the secret and the mystery that needs to come forth. Now notice, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to man. Now verse 4, for he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Now you stop right here for a minute. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He who prays in tongue builds himself. That word edify means to charge up like a battery. In other words, he who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. We can build ourselves up. We can charge ourselves up by praying in other tongues. We can become strong spiritually by praying in other tongues. We can become to a place where we are more spiritually astute by praying in other tongues. This is one of the reasons why I pray a lot in other tongues, is because I know the necessity of being spiritually astute, being able to recognize, being able to hear what the Spirit says. Sometimes when we gather together, excuse me, especially in prayer, that I ask everybody, let's all pray in tongues, because I want us to honor the Holy Spirit who has brought the gift. And for us to become spiritually astute or have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to us at that particular time, so we can pray out in English some of the things that come forth in other tongues. We cannot neglect this precious gift. I tell you, folks, if there's one thing I can say about my life, my particular life, the gift of other tongues, I can't talk about it enough as far as giving it credit for causing me to be able to grow in the things of Jesus and to live a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Praying in other tongues is something that charges us up. Remember, we just read in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And here it says that he who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies or charges himself up like a battery. Notice the connection. He brought this gift. He brought it to us. Paul says, I wish you all spoke in tongues. I wish you all spoke in tongues. And then he goes on to say, in the church, I would even wish that you'd also speak in tongues, prophesy, or interpret your tongues. Because there you can edify the church as well. Not only build. You see, we can't spend all our time building ourselves up. We have to do things to build up the body as well. We have to do things to build each other up as well. So it's important to pray in other tongues in our prayer language, but it's also important to prophesy and speak forth the good things of the Lord as well to the body of believers. Now, I want to read you a few things. There's so much more we could say about the gift of other tongues and how the Apostle Paul really put a lot of emphasis on it. In verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 14, it says, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. He was thanking God that it seemed like he was always speaking in tongues. It's interesting, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church of Corinth, and it seemed like they were always speaking in tongues. Any directive that you see in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, where it seems like, for instance, he said, I pray that you'd all speak in tongues, but rather that you'd prophesy as well, or even more that you would prophesy. He was trying to bring some balance because they were so off in this area of speaking in tongues, that's all they did. And so they never edified one another. They were just only interested in that building themselves up. But he said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. So this church of Corinth, it seemed like they were speaking in tongues an awful lot, so much that Paul had to give direction to it. But he said, I speak in tongues more than you all. Even all you guys, he was saying, church of Corinth, as much as you speak in tongues, I talk in tongues more than you all. But Paul gives direction about when it should be done. He gives direction that in the church, you don't come to church all the time, every time you get together and all you do is pray in tongues. You don't do that. Because the body isn't built up, and teaching isn't gone forth, and so forth. Now, I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than you all. Now, just let me read a couple of things to you concerning some of the activities or the results of speaking in tongues. I believe I've mentioned this before to you, that in the book Chasing the Dragon by Jackie Pullinger, she ministered to drug addicts in Hong Kong. And, I mean, they were really down-and-out cases. I mean, they lived in what was called the Wall City of Hong Kong. It was a six-acre block where 40,000 people lived in, and it was a slum. And it was built up quite high, but in seeing the pictures on it on YouTube, you can go to YouTube and type in the Wall City of Hong Kong, and you can see some of the sites there. But it was a real, real bad place. And she went in there and ministered to the drug addicts. And, you know, she really couldn't minister to them until they wanted to get rid of the addiction. And man, they were bad cases. They were real bad cases. But she was having a difficult time, and then she got filled with the Holy Spirit. And she began teaching the drug addict. She said, if you will come to God and you will be saved and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, when you pray in tongues, you'll be delivered. Well, she proved that out and found out that the only way that they could get delivered was without medical attention and have to take another drug to ease them off the drug. They could quit cold turkey as long as they prayed in tongues. And she got hundreds delivered that way. They would pray in tongues and the miracle would happen and they would be totally delivered. I mean, that is a wow. That's awesome. It's a power of God moving upon individuals, bringing into them the life of God to be able to put out what the devil had brought into them. Praying in other tongues did that for them. David Wilkerson was another guy who ministered in the streets of New York. He started Teen Challenge, I believe it was, and he ministered there. And one of the comments that he made, you can read about this in the Cross and the Switchblade, one of the comments that he made, he said, those people who came out of that drug addiction, of that lifestyle, as long as they were filled with the Holy Spirit, with speaking in other tongues, they stayed clean. But the rest of them seemed to go back. He noticed that as well. The power of praying in other tongues. There's another story. A friend of mine just told me last week, a pastor friend. He said that he had a child who had autism, and it was really bad. It was a real bad case. I mean, they just didn't know what to do with him. And he started out, he told me that he started out when he was at about 4 years old, and he started, I asked him, I said, did you ever notice how these things came about? And he said, well, when he was about 4 years old, he woke up one night and he had a terrible, terrible dream. And it was a nightmare. And he started having those dreams every 6 weeks. And then after a while, he started having it every month. After a while, he started having these nightmares every week. After a while, it got to the point every single night he would be terrified. And the child would be in this dream, and his father would go and try to wake him up, and he couldn't get him out of it. And he said, that drove me to prayer. He said, I just prayed. And he said, I didn't know anything about deliverance or healing or anything like that at that particular time. He said, one particular night, I was sitting in the dark praying, and I heard it again. He started. And he woke up, and he got up, jumped out of his bed, and ran out the room in the dark. Now, he was still sleeping, or he was still in this nightmarish state. And this minister said, when he went by me, I grabbed him, and I just said, in the name of Jesus, you devil that's causing these nightmares, leave now. And he said that child acted like he threw up. And he said, I thought he had threw up all over the place. But he said, I turned the light on, there was nothing. But he said he never had a bad dream again. But he still had autism. He never had a nightmare again. And he went on through life, and he said it was like, he said it was so terrible. He said we couldn't, he told me, he said it got to the point where we had to put something on the top of our door to hold our bed door shut because we were afraid that he might come in and kill us in the middle of the night. No, he couldn't get, it was constant problems in school. And it was just, he said it was a nightmare. And he said it drove him to prayer many, many times. And he said the best, the people that we would say had the best ministries of gift of healings and so forth prayed over him. Nothing happened. The best of the best prayed over them. And he said one night, one day, he went to a little church where they were having a student night, a youth night. And some of his friends asked him to go, so he went. And so he said he got a phone call, and he said, your boy is here, and he came up for prayer. Now, these people didn't know anything about speaking in tongues or anything. And he said he came up for prayer, and he fell down on the floor, and we don't know what to do with him. He's making all kinds of funny noises and babbling. We don't know what's going on. And so his father said, just kind of pick him up and bring him on home. And so they brought him home and said, sure enough, they had to carry him in. I mean, he was gone. But he said he was praying in tongues. And he said they laid him in bed, and they put him in bed, and for 24 hours solid, he prayed in tongues and woke up completely healed. Amen. 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 Now, there is a power of God that God wants to release to us. And that power is available to us, but we must make use of it. And I'm convinced that praying in other tongues causes us to become spiritually aware so that the Holy Spirit can come in and do something into our lives. The Holy Spirit desires to bring us to a higher level in whatever it is we are dealing with. He wants to bring us to a higher level, folks. And praying in other tongues is one way that will help us to be able to get up to the next level. Evelyn Roberts, of the late Oral Roberts' wife, and of course Evelyn's gone to heaven as well, she said Oral Roberts got to the point where, because of the things that he was doing and the things that he was used for, he had to pray all the time in other tongues. She said, I would go by the bathroom sometimes when he'd be shaving, and she said I'd kind of giggle because he would be praying so fervently in other tongues when he was shaving. And he always claimed that that's where God gave him vision, was when he prayed in other tongues. It is so important. It is so important to use the gifts and calling of God that he has given us. Jude says, I want you to build yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit. He tells us, I want you to build yourselves up in faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Stand up with me, please. Father, we thank you so much, dear God. Lord, we can't do anything without the precious Holy Spirit. We've come to realize that, dear God, that without the Holy Spirit, we are dry and lifeless. But Lord, Jesus went through the cross, was raised from the dead, so that we could have the Holy Spirit in our lives, to be the witnesses that we are called to be, God. And Father, we desire to be the kind of people who would be witnesses for Jesus. Lord, we realize that we need the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. We realize that we need his power going through our bodies, in our lives, Father, that we could make Jesus famous in our lives. We worship you, Father, because of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We worship you, Lord. We praise you, Holy Spirit. We thank you. If you're here today and you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, I want to invite you to come as we worship God. I want to sing a song, and as we worship God, I invite you to come.
There must be more than this.